Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. It's Tuesday. It's May 22nd, 2000. I'm salvaging this.
It's 20,000. You're going back to the future.
Yo, my flex capacitor is...
20,000 Leagues Under the Radio with Mark Burns.
Okay, I got to get my 2012 in. 2012, thanks for joining us on this Testimony Tuesday. Of course, I don't have a special guest other than my very special co-host from Wednesday, coming a day early, Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason Schiffo, the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And I was telling Pastor Jason that, you know, I don't have somebody scheduled for Tuesday yet. How about you coming in a day early and we can do Tuesday's program and then come back on Wednesday and do the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends? And so he said, sure, I'm in. So thank you, Jason, for being a part of this morning's program.
It's a trap when you ask a pastor, hey, do you want to come and talk about the Bible? It's like we can't stop. So.
Yes. And I listed out, I already primed you on the five areas that I'm going to go at today. So we got it kind of scripted out. I'm going to stay on task.
Okay.
And I wanted to begin with, because I didn't announce yesterday, I had Mel and Meg Drennan in the studio, and they shared some of their life story and testimony. But I didn't give away the prizes that I had mentioned at the Christian Bible Church the other day, because we had Voice of the Listener Radio surveys. So I want to announce three winners today of those that filled out Voice of the Listener Radio surveys on Saturday night, as we had a fabulous time. The Singing Men of GNN shared at Pastor Silas's church, and he was featured last Friday on Mark and Friends. And we're still looking for that 27-year-old Jewish believer. So if you're out there, I have a blind date set up for you with a pastor friend of mine. So, but we appreciate all those that attended Saturday night's event. And so we're going to announce three winners, people that filled out Voice of the Listener Radio surveys, and we pulled out three names and three prizes. And the first winner is?
First winner is Judith Knapp. Judith is a supporter of the radio ministry. She's been listening since 1990, and she loves to listen to Dr. David Jeremiah. One of her favorites is Steve Green, so she's going to be getting Love Will Find a Way, Steve Green CD, so that's going to be great for Judith Knapp.
And I believe she's married to...
Ronald.
Yep, we connected, and they, I think, attend the Christian Bible Church. They were really helpful. We had a great meal. They fed all the Singing Men of GNN and the spouses, and it was a glorious time, and I thank those church ladies for such good fixings.
Second winner is Jerry and Edna Claver, I think is the last name here. It says today they financially supported the ministries. And they love Dr. Jeremiah also, and it looks like that they are new to the radio station. Oh, wait. So how long have you listened? This is great. It says, since it started forever. Oh, and they got the Gaither Vocal Band Better Day, which will be a great CD to listen to. Especially on a beautiful day like today, you listen to it in the car. That would be wonderful. The third winner is Joy and Roger Hari. And Joy and Roger won the Chris Fabry, and they won the Not in the Heart novel here. It says that they've been longtime radio listeners. They love the radio station and pray for the radio station often. So that is great.
Thanks for filling out those Voice Listener Radio surveys. And that's Chris Fabry's. I think it's his second, third, fourth book. I don't know. He's had a number of books out, but that's his most recent one. So the Moody Broadcasting Network sent me some copies. And so enjoy that. And thanks for filling out Voice Listener Radio surveys. And it was fun yesterday having Mel and Meg in the studio. And If you missed that testimony, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. And what I've been doing with all of our special guests on Mark and Friends, typically I'll take a picture of them in the studio or right outside the studio where there's that Great News Radio Welcome to the Studio board, And post that on Facebook and also on our website. So friend to Great News Radio on the Facebook page, you'll get to see some of the people that are guest interviews and those that are here or special events with the radio ministry are all posted at our Facebook page and also at my personal Facebook page, you know, Mark Burns. I don't know. It's something Mark Burns, you can find out. Anyways, those are the only things I really post are radio stuff. I don't post, hey, I'm going to the grocery store now. Hey, I just had a sandwich, you know.
I wish you would. I mean, just some more personal posts. Just ate hot dogs. Yeah. Just let the dog out.
I usually only post generally the special guests are something that's, I think, worthwhile. But anyway, so it was great having Mel and Meg in. And then finally, I want to highlight our next Singing Men event that's coming up in a few weeks. It's going to be on June 10th at the Calvary Baptist Church in Monticello, 6 p.m. It's a Sunday night. The Singing Men will be putting on a full concert. And then we just confirmed that we will be a part of the Decatur celebration in August, August 4th. Apparently, we'll be singing twice at 2 and 5 p.m. at the big Decatur celebration Saturday.
That's
August
a lot of people,
4th.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think tens of thousands of people. So that should be a good outing for us. So
will Larry Bunting be singing another solo at that? He's one of our own. I was proud to hear that solo, and I saw a picture of it, too.
Yeah, he did a good job. It was the first time he's ever done a solo. He did that at Cisna Park at the Christian Bible Church. And I don't know, that song, I even thought, maybe someday I can do a solo on that. That's River of Judea.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve always puts me on the spot. Now, how many times have you been to Israel? And tell us what's unique about the River Jordan and your experience there. And so I say, Steve, are you sure you want to go there? Because I can go on for an hour.
Well,
two.
I sent Larry a message late last night telling him that I want a little bit of, how do you say that? A little bit of acknowledgement, because I think that solo was carried off by those bacon pancakes he ate at our men's breakfast earlier.
Right. I saw that. That was a really good one. So, yeah, Larry Bunning, also known as Budget Tours. And he's going to be a part. I'll digress a little. I didn't put this on the sheet, but
He's deviating from the sheet.
Deviating from the sheet. But you're a part of this. And we'll talk more about it in the coming days, and I'm hoping in the next week or two to have it all lined out and all my T's crossed and I's dotted, but we are doing a humanitarian mission trip to Israel probably the first 12 or 13 days of March of 2013, so about 10 months away. We've identified about 5 or 6 different service projects that we're going to participate in, and then we'll also be touring throughout the Holy Land. You're going to be our primary teacher and facilitator to divide God's Word and to read the biblical narrative on location. We're very excited to have you doing that, Jason, and I know Tasha's going to get to come to Israel and observe and see and experience it all. And the unique thing about doing these humanitarian mission trips to Israel is half of the cost can be raised through your maybe church missions fund, through your neighbors, your friends, your colleagues. You can go around and say, these are the tasks we're going to be doing, helping the children and elderly care ministry we'll serve at. We'll help out at a kibbutz and paint a mural and do some cleanup. And so we have a variety of tasks that we're going to do, and I'm working out all the fine-tuning. But because of that service project element, half the trip can be supported or raised, and it can be tax deductible if you say, hey, I'm not interested in literally going out and raising, you know, $1,500 or $2,000. You can pay the full amount, and yet half of that would be a tax deduction because it goes into this pool of the expenses that pay for the trip and pay for us to accomplish these great deeds in the name of the Lord. So we'll say more about that in the coming days, but it's the first couple weeks, for the most part, in March of 2013.
Yeah, and so I think the great thing, too, is, you know, I think you and I have had some conversations about some new things, some things we might add to make it even a more rich, more engaging time in the Holy Land. But also, I think even though you don't have it lined out, because I know you've been praying about it a lot, that maybe if there's somebody out there who's thinking, you know, Israel has been on my heart, now's a great time even just to begin to pray, begin to kind of put our prayer foot forward always and begin to ask the Lord, you know, is Israel a place you want me to go? Because if the Lord wants you to do something, he'll make a way. So,
well, and I'll also point out what I've loved about your participation in the past December trip, and that's where we met Mel and Meg that were on yesterday, is your desire to engage the listener, to have this not just be a thing for our trip, our group of 40 or 50 people, but to engage the listener, to engage other churches, to get other small groups and people involved. And it doesn't mean, obviously, everyone can go with us, but they can feel they can have a hand in the trip. Maybe it's getting some school supplies so we can deliver them to the kids that are being traumatized by the rockets from Lebanon or Syria. Or they can help donate teddy bears, or the different things we're going to do. Or they can be praying, or like if we do some blogs and some postings, so they can feel like they're a part of the group, they're engaged, they're being blessed. And whether we call in some programs or give 2-minute announcements or updates, that the listener can feel a part of being on that trip or learning, because when we came back the last time, you put on a big presentation that many, many people came out for, and you taught and narrated the trip in a sense so that they benefited and were blessed by what was learned and experienced.
Yeah, I think I said it before, and I know I said it certainly to my congregation, is that though I may go, I take everybody who's with me there. I mean, I take you because you're praying for me, because you're asking God for safety and protection. While I'm there, I'm praying for you. I mean, you know, 1 John talks about this fellowship in the Spirit. So though we may travel far from each other, though we may go different places, we do, in a sense, go together in the Spirit and in this fellowship that we can't quite understand and can't quite put our fingers and label it, but it's there. Mm-hmm. So for me, at least, it's important that everybody understands that I think you're just as integral, you know, even if you don't get on the plane and you don't go to the trip, as those who are on the plane and going.
Mm-hmm. And I'll qualify this. I often say this to people, whether I'm doing a presentation or orientation or just recruiting people to entertain the idea that God may be calling them to go to Israel. But I want to be really clear. You do not have to go to Israel to meet or connect with God.
Right.
You can do it right now. You and I do it when we pray before the program, when we talk about scriptures. You don't have to go to Israel to be close to God. It can happen right where you're at, as you just invite God to be a part of your life, to speak to you through His Word and so forth. Maybe walking through the woods or just seeing His handiwork or seeing the care extended from maybe a mom to their child, and you're just blessed and you just thank God at that moment. You can connect with Him in powerful ways. But I will say, when the biblical narrative is taught on location where these historical events, these miracles took place, the very body of water, the Sea of Galilee that Jesus walked on, when you're there in that vicinity and you observe and take it to heart and just ponder anew, it's like you have new lenses when you read the scriptures and you return, because you've seen the mountainside, you've seen the terrain, the locations. Even the Old Testament becomes so much more alive because now you identify with Deborah or Isaiah or Abraham or Lot or Jacob. And it's just a very unique experience. And for those of you that say, and many of you, our listeners, are older school, oh, Mark, I could never spend that much money on myself. Let me challenge you. That's one of the reasons why I've loved this humanitarian missions trip aspect, because it gives you permission to say, you know, if I'm going to go and help people, then maybe I can go and relinquish some of these resources towards this. Because what I see happening, and I love getting some of you church ladies and some of you senior saints that are old school and say, Mark, I could never spend $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 on myself. It's just too extravagant. Well, let me challenge you. Because of my track record, I've seen hundreds of people's lives transformed. My calling is whatever it takes to get you there, because once I get you there, I know God's going to pour into you and bless you and fortify you and increase your faith and understanding of His Word. And if it takes you justifying, well, I guess if I can go and serve people, then I'm going to give myself permission. Hey, great, because once I can get you there, the fellowship, the camaraderie, as Jason, I know, is such a capable teacher, as he divides God's Word and we pray together and worship, you will return change. So this unique aspect sometimes empowers people that otherwise wouldn't spend the money on themselves. If they know they're going to serve, then they can decide that they're going to go. And so I want many of you to be praying about this. I think we'll take probably 40 or 50 people, a busload, and I'm working out the arrangements and the flights and the reservation. But begin praying now. Some of you may even say, oh, you don't understand. It's a week before spring break, and I couldn't take off the additional time. Hey, when it comes to Israel, I've seen miraculous things take place. Yeah. And if God wants you there, He'll work out the logistics, the details, the financial aspects, who's going to babysit the children, or how it would all work. But begin praying now, because you just never know. You might say, oh, Mark, I couldn't come up with that money. Well, give it to the Lord, because sometimes if people know you're going to go to Israel, I've seen supernatural things take place where people say, hey, I want to be a sponsor. I want to help send you. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's somebody that has some financial resources that say, hey, I heard you have a Israel trip scholarship fund. Mm-hmm. And you would want to donate towards that. And maybe that way we could empower a pastor or a church leader or somebody that has a servant's heart that would love to go to Israel and serve but couldn't financially afford it. Right now, we don't have any scholarship monies available, but you just never know. People that have gone to Israel in the past, those are generally the people that have put money into that scholarship fund because they know the power that this trip can have on them. So, hey, this is a pretty big digression, but I think an important one, and I would ask for your prayer.
It wasn't on the list, was it?
It wasn't on the list, but I do feel passionately about it. I've taken hundreds of people over, and each and every time I've seen it have a life-changing impact. And first and foremost, they connect with God in new ways, and they connect with the Scripture. And I love that. I love God's Word, and I love when people return hungry to read it more intentionally, more faithfully, and just connect because now they've had new lenses on, and they've seen, observed, and studied, and been taught and mentored over there. So be praying about that. I hope everyone can somehow be involved, whether it's through prayer, through just entertaining the idea of going, recommending a friend or neighbor. We will have some people from throughout the country joining us. I think we have some friends out in Nebraska and Texas and Florida, maybe Arizona and other parts of the country that can also join us. So we can work out all those flights. But that'll be the first couple weeks of the first 12 days of March in 2013. So get your passport and begin praying.
That is great. That'll be a good time. And I'm looking forward to it, too. There was something I talked about with the men's group on Saturday morning. And I wanted to bring it to the radio listeners because I thought it was really interesting. It was something that God spoke to my heart. It's been a while now, and it's been something that's just been ruminating in me. But I would love to share this. And I brought you a present, Mark.
I like this. They're little army guys, like not G.I. Joes, but these are those little plastic ones that as a kid, I love my little army guys. I don't know if they still sell those. They had them in those little plastic bags, and you rip them open.
They have them still. But it's hard to find these. It's hard to find the good ones. The ones they sell now, you can kind of just bend them a little bit, and they have to go to the VA hospital because their legs break off. And so I brought you this one here. That one's for you right there.
Okay. He's going to go on the studio console.
Yeah. You know, we'll just add more and more things there. So we got these little green army men. And you guys out in the radio listening audience probably know these guys. You know, some of them have the gun up. Some are the guy who's kind of crouched and he's laying on the ground. One guy's got a bazooka. The guy's got the radio. But my son had these, maybe it was a year ago. He had gotten these. He had seen Toy Story. And these are in Toy Story, that movie. I said to him, I said, Jacob, what are those? He says, those are my action figures. And I go, that's interesting, because I know a lot of people who are action figures. I mean, I know a lot of people who, they look good. They look the part. You know, these little army guys, this guy I'm holding in my hand right now, he's got his gun up in the air, and it looks like he's going to kind of stab it down. I'm not sure what he's doing.
Unless he's wading through, like, the waters.
He could be wading through the waters, or maybe he's giving up. I'm not sure what he's doing exactly. But how about this? He looks like he's ready for action. But he doesn't move. He just looks good. He looks like he's doing the right things. He looks like you'd want him to see. He looks like the guy in your church who arrives every Sunday morning with this big, huge Bible in his hand, you know, and his family in tow. And then when he leaves church afterwards, the Bible never gets cracked open one more time. Maybe it sits in the seat of the car. And when he gets in the car, he starts yelling at his kids. He forgets that he needs to hug his wife. But in church, you go, man, that guy's got it all. Let me look at his Bible and look at his kids are dressed well and his beautiful wife and nice wife. And he's a great action figure. He's not a man of action. And the Bible is filled with not action figures. The Bible is filled with men of action. And on Sunday morning, we just took a real short devotional time in Nehemiah, in the very first chapter of Nehemiah. And about 550 B.C., a large number of the Jews returned to Israel by the decree of Cyrus. We sat in Isaiah 45. And they returned to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel, and they began to rebuild the temple. Well, 90 years later, we happen into what's happening in Nehemiah here. And Nehemiah is receiving word. He receives in the very first chapter a letter from those Jews living in Jerusalem. And it's lamenting what's happening in Jerusalem and how bad things are in Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah, it says here in the end of chapter 1, he's the cupbearer of the king. Now, the cupbearer of the king is not a big, it's not a highfalutin job, it's not a big job, but nonetheless, he's in the king's court, he's doing something with the king, he's attached to the king. So there would be a certain sense of kind of submission. I told them that morning, read Romans 13. There would be a certain submission to authority because he works for the king. Even though he believes in God, he works for the king. So he reads this letter that the Jews send him. And it says, while he heard these things, he sat down and he wept. A very human reaction to what he reads. But right away then, he begins to pray. So right away, he does what all of us would normally do. We weep. And then he begins to pray. He becomes a man of action, not simply an action figure. Then it says that he goes and he's before the king. And the king says, hey, what's going on exactly? Your face looks a little sad. Are you ill? You know, what exactly is happening? Really what the king is kind of saying is, you work for me. Everything should be A-okay. What's wrong with you? And it says, Nehemiah says in chapter 2, I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. So look at how he pays homage to the earthly authority that God has put into place, Romans chapter 13. Why should my face not look sad when the city of my fathers... Now, he doesn't say, you know, the temple and Jerusalem and the majesty and this place, you know. He doesn't go to... He connects it to his dad and his dad's dad and the lineage of his dad's dad. How many of you guys out there right now watch the news and watch some of the things that maybe are happening in government, maybe some of those things, and you just weep a little bit? I sat with a guy a couple weeks ago, an elderly gentleman, and he goes... I fought in World War II, and my dad fought in World War I, and he goes, when I watch the news, I'm so sad because my dad gave his life, and it's in ruins now, I feel like. I feel like it's just not going well. And I go, man, that's what Nehemiah is saying right here. Nehemiah's not saying, we got to rebuild the temple because we need a glorious place. He goes, man, my fathers were there. They're buried there, and his father's father is buried there. And then it says, the king says, what do you want? And Nehemiah doesn't go, well, you know, this is exactly what I need. It says, then I prayed to the God of heaven. I mean, he's a cupbearer. So to even answer the king's question with a need is huge. I mean, he's kind of low in the court. But then right away, the first thing he does, he's not an action figure, because then he would just be a good-looking, quiet cupbearer. He's a man of action, because it says, and then I prayed to the God of heaven. And it says, if it pleases the king, can I go to Jerusalem? And the king says, well, I think that might work. And then because he's prayed to God and now he's a man of action by the power of the Spirit and by the power of God Almighty, he begins to ask for letters so he can get through the forest okay. He begins to ask for provision. He begins to ask for all kinds of things. Chapter 2, Nehemiah, I mean, imagine the cupbearer is sitting there going, and I'm going to need a letter so I can get through the forest, and I'm going to need some cavalry, and I'm going to need some horses, and I'm going to need some men, and I'm going to need some supplies.
And we're going to need more time because SR News won't wait. And we're going to have to continue this tomorrow because we're out of time. And I love it. I'm going to name today's program Action Figure, Man of Action with an Action Plan. And that plan is prayer. So please be in prayer today. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. We'll continue on with this conversation tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Have a great day, everyone.